If you can open up your Bibles to Ephesians 4:32, we have the page numbers on the pew Bibles in front of you. If you didn't bring your own Bible, and we encourage you every week to bring your own Bible, take notes in it, underlines, circles, everything. It's your Bible. I want to tell you a story about a time I had a few months ago. I teach a Bible study weekly at a local Christian residential drug and alcohol rehab ministry called Youth Challenge. And in my study there about biblical communication with the men, I was teaching that unresolved hurts from the past can cause anger problems in the present. And one of the hurts from the past that some men have experienced that go through this program, this particular program, is sexual abuse as a child at the hands of a loved one. Now, I said that one aspect of resolution of these hurts, I was telling the men this, is the forgiveness of the perpetrator. And at that point, one of the men erupted in protest. He got so angry at me. This man was about 40 years old and a newcomer to Youth Challenge. It was my first time meeting him. And he shouted out that there should be no forgiveness for such a person and that these types of people should rot in hell for all eternity. Now, I attempted to dialogue with him at the time and some of the other Youth Challenge men, but he wasn't having any of it. He didn't want to hear it. I finally got him to simmer down by agreeing to disagree and, you know, implored us to talk afterwards. For the rest of the session, he just glared at me. He had checked out and disappeared when we were done. Now, it was obvious to all of us there that this man had been a victim of sexual abuse as a child. It was also obvious that this man was filled with a deadly toxin, and that toxin was called unforgiveness. And I'm fairly certain that his sexual abuse as a child had a lot to do with his current drug addiction. I've seen men like this at Youth Challenge come and leave quickly because they were just not ready to address the issues in their life and to think differently about them through the lens that the Bible gives us, through a Christian lens based on the Word of God. So I prayed fervently all week that this man would be here, would be when I returned the following week, that I'd be able to talk to him. And I prayed all week that he would be there, but much to my disappointment, he indeed did leave the program. And I don't think I'm wrong to suspect that he headed back to his drugs and the lifestyle that entailed it. Now, I tell you this story to illustrate the powerful toxin that unforgiveness is to anyone. 3 weeks ago, I preached a sermon called The Forgiven Forgive. And in that sermon, I focused on the why of forgiveness. In other words, the motivation to forgive. And today, I want to give you the Forgive and Forgive Part 2. And people have asked me about this. How do I forgive people? I know that I have to do it, and I know God wants to do it. I know it's the best thing in the world for me. But Pastor, I just don't know how to do this. Now, this sermon is important because you may want to forgive, but let's face it. Forgiving is hard. It's so hard, especially when people have wronged us and we have deep wounds. We have a strong sense of justice, especially when it comes to us. Tit for tat, quid pro quo. I've heard that somewhere lately. You hurt me, so I get to hurt you back. Those things come so naturally to us. Revenge is also a powerful, natural instinct for us. And quite honestly, Christian virtues of mercy and forgiveness are unnatural to us. The commands to love our enemies and to bless and pray for those that persecute us. You know, we get those from Matthew 5, 43 to 48, and Romans 12, 17 to 22. Those things don't come naturally to us, do they? They don't come naturally to us. They must come supernaturally. So what I'd like to accomplish in the next few minutes is to read just our one verse of scripture for this morning and then to supply to you how that verse helps you tap into the supernatural power of God to forgive. And then I want to break it down into four easy steps that you can follow to be an effective forgiver. But before I begin, please bow your head while I pray. Lord, we need you and the power of Holy Spirit now. Nothing will come of today's message without you. Prick our hearts and minds and fill us full of your truth, conviction, and power. Help me to be faithful to speak your truth with clarity and the authority that lies only in the word itself. And we pray this in the name of your forgiving Son, Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen. Amen. Okay, just as a little backdrop for this particular verse, it's in a section of Ephesians where Paul tells his readers what you may have heard in the past, the put off, put on. Put off your old corrupt self and put on your new righteous and holy self. We're all members of the body of Christ, and in your anger, don't sin. Your words should only be used to build others up. So get rid of all malice and ill will toward each other. And then he closes this with our scripture for today, Ephesians 4:32. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Great verse of scripture. There's a lot there. So I'm going to try to break it down as simple as possible. I'm going to use illustrate Paul's command through the use of a baseball illustration. Now, I chose a baseball illustration because I don't want to talk about football. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, and I'm not talking about football. We're going to talk about baseball today. There's always hope for the new season, right? Now, in case you're not familiar with baseball, what you try to do, you win by scoring runs. So the objective in baseball is you start out at home plate down at the bottom there, and you have to go to first base on the right, second base on the top, third base on the left, and back home. And the objective is to get back home. And you can't get home, you can't reach your objective unless you get to first, second, third base. So the illustration is that Paul's command for us today is to be kind and compassionate. That's his imperative. Be kind and compassionate. That's home. That's home. But to get home, you got to touch all the bases. And what are those bases? First base is to understand our sin problem. How detestable each and every sin we have ever committed is to God. That we deserve the fearsome and justified wrath of God for all of our sins, including eternal damnation in hell. And that there was nothing we could do, ever do, or doomed. When we fully apprehend the precariousness of our situation, we have gotten to first base, and now we're ready to continue on to second base. Second base is receiving the forgiveness from God for all of our sins by trusting what Jesus Christ did on the cross, where we get saved and forgiven. At second base, we realize that Jesus suffered for us on the cross, for what we should really rightfully suffer in hell for all eternity. When we freely accept Jesus' costly sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins, all of them, now we're ready to continue on to third base. Third base gives us the ability to forgive others graciously and freely. The Greek word is actually, that's used for forgiveness in our passage, actually is a derivative from where we get the word grace, charis. Third base is forgiving others graciously and freely on an ongoing basis. It's a life of forgiveness. Remember, the forgiven forgive. To get to third base, we've got to go through first and second base. We can't get to third base supernaturally unless we get to first and second first. to know what our sin problem is all about and what Jesus has done for us. Until we feel the full weight of that forgiveness of ourselves and the costliness of that forgiveness, then we're ready to share and able to share with others the same forgiveness that we've received. After third, which is forgiving others and releasing whatever we had against them, we can continue on home and treat others with kindness and compassion. And that's the visual picture of Ephesians 4:32. Understanding our sin problem fully and appreciating the gravity of it and all that Jesus Christ did for us so that we might be forgiven. And now we are able to forgive others and release their debts that they create by their sins so that we can treat them with kindness and compassion. Make sense? Make sense? Yeah. But let me be very clear about something, because Jesus has a very clear teaching in the Sermon on the Mount that I've heard other people try to talk away. Matthew 16:15 comes right after the Lord's Prayer. Jesus tells them, pray like this. And Jesus says this, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know what that means? What that means is if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. It means exactly what it says. If we don't forgive others, then our sins aren't forgiven by God. You might say, Pastor, I thought all my sins were forgiven when I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you know, when I got to second base. Are you now saying that I have to earn my forgiveness by forgiving others? Reasonable question. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. When you look at the totality of Scripture, there's only one way to look at what Matthew 16:15 is saying. What Jesus is saying is, if you don't forgive others, it's pretty obvious you haven't gotten to second base. You don't realize where you were in your sin problem, and you don't realize the costliness of what I had to do for you. And that's why you have trouble forgiving others, because you haven't felt the awesome gift that I've given you. Remember, the forgiven forgive. Now you might say, okay, I got that. I want to forgive others with all my heart. And I understand how important it is. But man, I've tried and I just can't do it. Different issue. You're telling me that you're motivated to do it. You understand the importance of it. You just have having trouble doing it. To you, I would say two things. First, number one, make sure that you understand what forgiveness is and what it is not. That's a problem for a lot of people. They think forgiveness is something it never is. And for that explanation, go back to my sermon on November 17th. I explain there what forgiveness is and what it is not. And that sermon is available on our website. And or number two, maybe you just need a biblically based process on how to forgive. You just don't know how to do it. Forgiveness is not easy. Does anybody find forgiveness easy? If you do, write a book and tell us how to do that. It's so unnatural for us. And that's why we need the supernatural power of God to be able to do it. And so I want to give you a four-step process. And I'm borrowing heavily from a book I read a long time ago by Andy Stanley. It Came From Within. Now, the book has been republished. This is not available anymore. And it's replaced by Enemies of the Heart. It's Enemies of the Heart by Andy Stanley. It's a great book. Now, this one is not in print anymore, and I need your help. Now, after this service, I'm going to run out and run to my office, because this particular book, if you look on the front of it, it has the name Karen Termine in it. And I borrowed this 10 years ago. And it's a great book. And it's all, I marked up her book with all my notes in it. So I know she's going to run up here and try and get this. So I'm going to try to beat her to my office and lock the door. But Andy Stanley gives us a nice four-step process. And I'm going to, Frank Terminize it. So let's begin. Step one. First thing is to identify with whom you are angry. Identify with whom you are angry. That's step one. Now, there's all kinds of stuff on the market. You know, the cleansing or detox treatments on the market for our physical bodies. You know, somebody's trying to sell you foods or diets or supplements or drinks that are going to clean you out and take all the toxins out, right? And they have sell these programs that are the first-time programs. If you've never done this before, you need to get all the toxins out from your whole life, and then you need to buy their supplement that you take every once in a while to, you know, as a maintenance program. Well, I want you to think of forgiveness in this kind of way, in this four-step process. I suggest a first-time detox for all the unforgiven people in our entire lives. List all the people who have mistreated you or taken advantage of you. It's going to take some thought, some time. And I'm going to give you a caution about this. Putting things behind you is not the same thing as forgiving them. Just because you've moved on doesn't mean that you don't have that toxin, that hurt, that's unresolved inside you. I urge you to be thorough on this. In the future, after you do this, you're going to be just in the maintenance mode. So when someone angers you, just admit it. Just admit it. It's not sinful to admit that someone got you angry. God gave you the ability to get angry. What you do with that could be very sinful or it could be very healthy. You get to decide. Step one. Step two is to determine what they owe you. And I'm talking about being very specific on what they owe you. Now, when someone sins against you, they create a debt. Do you ever think about the Lord's Prayer when you say, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors"? When someone sins against us, they take something from us that doesn't belong to them. For example, we had Ricky Birch here this summer. He was the man who made national headlines because he was convicted of a murder that he did not commit. And before his conviction was overturned, he spent 33 years of his life behind bars from age 20 to 53. So obviously, the state owes him 33 years of his life. Now, what I would say to Ricky is when you're going through this process, it's not enough to say you owe me 33 years. Be more specific. I would encourage him to list all the things he talked to me about, to have a wife and children, his reputation, and on, specific things, and all the things he missed over the years that he can recall. And be as thorough as possible. 33 years is a long time. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Because general forgiveness does not heal specific hurts. Let me say that again. General forgiveness does not heal specific hurts. So after you identify people you have not forgiven, write down what they owe you. It may be something as easy or simple like an apology. Maybe that's all that's required. Or it may be something rather large, like a marriage or a family, or a father's love and affirmation, being at your ball games, taking you to father and daughter dances. Maybe it's a job or an education that someone took away from you, or a promotion, or your reputation. It goes on and on. Be specific. A special note here. Be ready for this one. Many of us have had to feel many things about people in our lives. You know, people have done stuff to us, and it conjures up a myriad of different emotions. People who have ever affected our lives through their decisions, like suicide, divorce, or maybe adultery. It's okay, I'm giving you permission. God gives you permission. It's okay to admit you're angry with that person for their decision. Now, you may feel 100 other things, but it's okay if that's one of your emotions. Admit it. And you aren't a bad person for admitting that feeling. Admit it. And put them in your loss on this list. So step one is to identify with whom you are angry. Step two is to determine what they owe you, specifically as possible. Remember, you cannot cancel a debt that has not been specifically identified. And number three, this is the big banana. Cancel the debt. Cancel the debt. And let me be clear here what this step is. This step is a decision. This step is not a feeling. This step is not a scrubbing of your brain's memory card either. You got that? This is important. Let me say this again. This step is a decision. It's not a feeling. And it's not a wiping of your memories of the incident. Not understanding this have messed up a lot of people who try to forgive. As Ephesians 4:32 says, just as God canceled your sin debt to him through Jesus' suffering and death, so you decide to cancel their debt to you. God didn't cancel your sin debt because you deserved it. Can I get an amen on that? You didn't deserve it. He canceled your debt simply because he loved you. And you don't cancel someone else's debt because they deserve it. You cancel their debt because of how you've been treated by God. That's the basis. Remember, the forgiven forgive. You can't get to third base until you have clearly put your foot on first base and put your foot on second base and rounded, and then you're ready to get to third. Think about this. Just think about the logic of this. Most of the time that when people hurt you have created a debt, they can't pay you back. If your dad wasn't there for you during your childhood, he isn't going to give you your childhood back. Decide to cancel the debt because it's not going to be repaid anyway. And stop letting the other person have control of your life. The person that hurt you then, don't let them to continue to hurt you and affect your lives that you have with other people now. Remember the man at Youth Challenge? He is letting a past offense to continue to rule over his life. And it has destroyed his life up to age 40, and he's letting it continue. Do you want to hold on to that hurt, or do you want to be well? Your decision. Unforgiveness gives others control of your life that they just don't deserve. Don't let yesterday ruin your today so it kills your tomorrow. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah. So let me give you some strategies for this step because this is a tough one. I'm going to give you first the Pastor Charles Stanley approach. Now, Pastor Stanley harbored anger for years about how awful his stepfather was to him. harbored the anger and unforgiveness for years and years and years. Finally, one day, he sat down and enumerated all the debts his stepfather owed him. And what he did, he set up two chairs, one here and one here, and he sat in his chair. And he envisioned that his stepfather was right there in front of him. And he said to him, and he went through his list. And he said, I forgive you for, and he went through his entire list, out loud talking to him, as if he was there. And he said after he did that, he felt like the chains had fallen off. And whenever those feelings, those ill feelings came up afterwards, what he conjured up in his mind was that scene and said, no, this issue has been taken care of. I'm not going to let it affect me anymore. That's the Pastor Stanley approach. The second possible approach you might want, if that's a little bit too chicky for you, is the torn up list approach. This is the one I've talked to many of you about. Take your list that you've created about all the debts, and then pronounce to God that you have canceled every debt, and do it one by one. Then I want you to tear up that list into little pieces. Take an envelope, put the pieces that you've torn up, and stick it into your drawer. Whenever the old feelings emerge, take out the envelope and remind yourself that this issue has been taken care of. That envelope will remind you. And tell the demon that's bothering you to go find something else to do. The last strategy that I've heard about is the Pastor Chip Ingram approach. And he sees that rather than an event, more of as a process. What he calls it the forgive, forgiving, forgiven process. And what he says is step one is to forgive. That's the decision to cancel the debt. Decision. Step two is the forgiving process. And what he recommends is to begin to pray for that person you're trying to forgive. Pray for that person that good will come to them. Then you get to step three. It just happens when you either feel okay about that person again or are willing to hear good news has come to that person and you're okay with it. I tried this with a person who got me so mad. It wasn't anything that large. He accused me of something that was so off base that he was just so wrong about it. It just really got under my skin. And so I was like that for a few days, and I said, I got to try something. So I said, I'm going to try the Chip Ingram approach because these other things haven't worked. And so the first day I prayed, and a prayer went something like this. My arms were folded. God, I pray that good would happen to him. Amen. Certainly not one of my more passionate. The next day it was a little bit better, but I have to tell you, after about 5 days, it was gone. I was okay. Now, this was a small debt, but your debt may be much larger. You may have to pray for 5 weeks or 5 months. Hopefully not 5 years, but whatever it takes, do it. Do it. So that's step one, step two, step three. Step four is dismiss the case. That's the fourth step, the final step. Dismiss the case. Forgiving, and I want you to understand, forgiving is not forgetting. People mess up on this a lot. Forgiving is not forgetting. Feelings don't follow our decision immediately. They don't. For some period of time, it's going to be a daily decision not to re-adjudicate the matter. It is wrong to let the issue take hold. You know that, right? But I want to tell you what's equally as bad. When the thoughts come up, what's equally as bad is to try and suppress those thoughts. Don't suppress the thoughts when they come up. Let them come up. And remind yourself that you've made a decision. This issue is behind you. That will put into your mind another piece of the forgiveness puzzle. And every time it comes up, remind yourself. And pretty soon, it's not going to come up anymore. Or when it does, it's not going to have that same effect on you. Go ahead and think about it. If you have to, go get the envelope out of the drawer. And at that time, thank God for his power, that he gave you the power to forgive. And don't believe Satan. Trust God. Paul writes in Romans 12, 19, he says, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It's mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Let God be God. One way or another, he's going to handle the offense with justice. Let him handle it. That's his business. He's God. And be advised, memories are not your enemy. They're memories. You can actually use them to remind yourself that the decision has already been made. So don't run away from them. Don't try to suppress them. And remember, you didn't forgive because this person deserved it, but neither did you deserve God's forgiveness when he forgave you. Think about that. You forgive because of how God treated you. That's the basis. Remind yourself that you've been to first and second base. Say, "I can get to third now. I've been to first and second. And I'm on my way home. I'm going to be kind and compassionate. Not because it's natural, because I have a supernatural God that's working in my life." Saints, you've been first and second. You can get to third. And we all need to get to third so we can treat others with kindness and compassion. We can forgive through the four-step process I shared with you. Saints, we got to remember, we live in a world that's full of neglect, insensitivity, injustice, and selfishness. Without a forgiving heart, we're going to lead a miserable existence. It's going to be a bad life. Life will be diseased because of that toxin called unforgiveness. It'll poison your soul. Now, our forgiveness of others is relatively cheap when you think about it compared to the expense of our forgiveness that we got from God. Think cross. We sang this morning a song, and we sang it many times. The songwriter wanted really to, with repetition, he wanted to get this into our heads. What we sang this morning, "I'll never know how much it cost you to see my sin upon the cross." And we sang that over and over again. God had to watch his son suffer an awful death on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. He didn't just say forget about it. Executioners drove metal stakes through Jesus' wrists and feet. Jesus suffered an excruciating agony for every breath he took for hours so that we might be forgiven of our sins. And looking down at from the cross, looking down what he saw before him were his executioners, the ones who gleefully crucified him. What he saw was those satisfied, those who lied about his ministry, now shaking their fists at him. What he saw were people scoffing at him. "I thought you were the Messiah." And some of Jesus' last words are recorded in Luke 23, 34. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Think about this for a minute. Who put Jesus up on the cross? We did. On this second Sunday of Advent, we're called to remember peace. Peace. The peace with God and the peace of God. Peace with God and our fellow man is built on the forgiveness of God, freely given to others. The forgiveness we have received flows out to us as we forgive others. So let me leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul. Ready? Colossians 3:13 and 15. He ties these two things together. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Amen? Amen. And remember, the forgiven, what do? Forgive. And that's you. Amen? Okay.